Good day, everybody, and welcome to the show. You're listening to L. Dorn's Nerdy Travels, and I really hope you enjoy your journey with me. Lally-ho! You are listening to L. Dorn's Nerdy Travels, Episode 6. I hope you're all doing fantastic today. I sure am. Early access for the latest Final Fantasy XIV expansion, Endwalker, comes out today, so I'm super excited, and I thought it would be fitting to do an episode all about Final Fantasy XIV. So, bard up your chocobo, feed him some Gissle Greens, and let's go for a ride! The first time I heard about Final Fantasy XIV was probably the 2009 E3 trailer. The game was then announced for the PC and PS3, and this was just a teaser trailer. At this point, it didn't show too much, but there was a cool shot of Leviathan coming out of the water and destroying a ship, and a bunch more CG stuff. It was just a CG trailer, and I'm gonna put some links in the show notes below, because watching some of these old trailers was super fun. I had a lot of fun going back and rewatching those, and yeah, thinking back to these trailers, I was remembering one where the Warrior of Light's in a tavern with a bunch of guildies, and they're trying to choose which leave quest they were gonna go on, and this trailer was super neat. And I was thinking that was E3 2010, but they also had a short trailer too, but in 2010 they had started showing off some of the character models and the animations and stuff, which is really cool. And then the longer one that I was thinking of was from Tokyo Game Show, and that one came out just shortly before the game was released. And yeah, this trailer was absolutely incredible. The Warrior of Light and his friends are reviewing all their leave quests, and then the Warrior of Light's looking at a card, and he gets sucked into it, and he starts having a vision of what the quest is going to entail. And yeah, they have a really cool fight with a Malboro, and the whole team's working together, and they're using their magic and their bows, and they're even doing cool combo attacks where the mage lights the archer's arrow on fire, and they shoot the Malboro right in the face with a fiery arrow, and it's super sweet. But none of that stuff ever made it into the game, so if Yoshi P, you want to get on that, that would be great too. Yeah, that would be really cool to see. But anyway, after defeating the Malboro, a Garlean ship swoops in, and the Warrior of Light ends up in the middle of the battle between Midgard Stormer, who's just like a giant dragon, and he's fighting the Garleans, and it's so cool. And then the trailer sends us back to the tavern, and the Warrior of Light's all like, this one. We'll start with this one. And it's all great, and everyone should go watch the trailer, and it's in the show notes. Anyway, trailers. We should talk about the game. So, this was pretty much going to be my first online Final Fantasy. I played a little bit of 11, but didn't ever get into it too much. I had trouble getting it to work on my internet, my rural internet at the time. And then I got into World of Warcraft. So this was my transition after World of Warcraft into Final Fantasy 14. So I was fortunate enough to get into the beta of the original game. At least I remember being really excited about it because it was the first beta I had ever got or I was ever a part of. But looking back at it, it might have even been an open beta. It was just a matter of signing up for it. But either way, I was super excited to play a Final Fantasy game before it was coming out. I was part of the beta there. And I remember doing the opening sequence, going into Limsa, and you're on a big ship, and you get attacked by a bunch of monsters, and then Leviathan comes out of the water and destroys your ship just in the original trailer, and that was all very cool. It was super fun, super cool opening sequence. So the game was originally released on September 30th, 2010, and it came out on PC. It was scheduled to come out on PS3 the following March. Originally, it was supposed to be the same time the PS3 one got delayed. But then, unfortunately, the game came out and it was a complete mess. The game looked absolutely beautiful, but there really wasn't a lot to do. There were some quests and stuff, but a lot of the game was just running around and fighting monsters. And yeah, the world was mostly empty. There was a lot of crafting, but the crafting itself was incredibly convoluted. You needed to get little pieces and mats from all over the place to build just even the simplest early items. And yeah, there were some quests and stuff, but I don't think there was a lot of content, or at least it wasn't presented in a way that I was used to. Definitely coming from World of Warcraft into the 1.0 version of Final Fantasy 14. It was definitely difficult to come into this game. Didn't seem like a lot to do, so I didn't play it a whole lot. But in yeah, in addition to the lack of content, the game just had lots of technical issues as well. The servers were super unstable and it was poorly optimized. I think one of the more famous examples is that a single flower pot in this part of the game had over 1,000 polygons and 150 lines of shader code, which was pretty much the same amount of resources that went into a player character. So the game was not optimized well. It looked beautiful, but yeah, you really don't need that much detail on a small decorative item when you're having trouble keeping your game running stable. So anyway, the game came out and it was released to very poor reviews. So Square had decided to extend the free trial for a while, for a couple months, and that kind of went into December. And at that point, the producer of the game, Hiromichi Tanaka, was let go from the project. He was also the director for Final Fantasy, or sorry, the producer for Final Fantasy XI, Square's other MMO. But yeah, he was removed as the director of Final Fantasy XIV and replaced by the now infamous Naoki Yoshida. And Yoshida began working on the game right away, trying to fix it up. But ultimately, they decided the game couldn't be completely restored to a place where they were going to be happy with it, a place where the game was going to be future-proof. So they decided to blow the whole thing up and rebuild the game from the ground up. So in November of 2012, in preparation for the new game, they shut down all the servers for the old 1.0 version of Final Fantasy XIV. And then, yeah, Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, was released the following August, which is an absolutely incredible timeline for turning around a game of this size, which is very cool. So, yeah, building up to the destruction of the old world, there was like a moon in the sky, and slowly over the months leading up to the destruction and the shutting down of the servers, there's like a red dot up in the sky, and it was getting closer and closer to the planet as we're preparing for the shutdown of the servers and the destruction of the world. We all thought it was a moon, the moon Dalamud was going to crash into the planet. But yeah, no spoilers, but hint, that's no moon. So yeah, leading up to the shutdown of the servers, they had a huge event in the game. There's a really neat cutscene showing what happens when the moon crashes into the planet, and that cutscene is one of my favorites and has one of my favorite Final Fantasy songs performed by the great Susan Calloway. Answers, that's one of my most favorites, and I really recommend everyone watch that trailer as well, or that cutscene. It's super, super cool. Square makes really great cutscenes. Back then, the game wasn't great, but the cutscenes were super good, so still worth watching. But anyway, we're about to get into the part where the game gets really, really good. So A Realm Reborn was released to a lot of praise and has been doing super well ever since the reboot. And it's one of my favorite games. And ever since the reboot, I've been playing all the expansions. I'm definitely more of a casual player. My general playthrough habits is Angela and I pick up the new expansions when they come out. We play through them all and then kind of keep up with the patches as they come out, clearing the dungeons and the normal mode raids. But yeah, one of my favorite things about this game is that it is friendly towards casual players, and they have lots of content to keep me busy when I'm in there playing it. I don't have to feel like I'm chasing the most high end competitive content. I like doing stuff like collecting costumes for my characters and my pet chocobo and crafting things to put in my in-game house. But yeah, there's lots of challenging content too if you are more into that sort of thing. So let's jump into some of these things into a little bit more detail into some of the things I love about the game. So Final Fantasy XIV is very much a single player RPG that other people also happen to be playing. Your character is the Warrior of Light, and you are the hero of Eorzea. Other players are seen as adventurers in the world. They're there to help you out, but your character is the true hero. So I'll try to keep most story stuff pretty vague in here, as my secret ulterior motive is to maybe convince a few of my friends to give this game a go. So I'm going to try to keep this as spoiler-free as possible. So the story begins 5 years after the destruction of the world of the original game. And I keep saying destruction, but the world wasn't wiped out. It was just broken a lot. And you're kind of dealing with the aftermath of that calamity and restoring balance to the world. You're fighting off advances of the Garlean Empire, and you do battle with dragons and mighty primal beings and liberate oppressed people. And the story has continued on through three expansions, Heavensward, Stormblood, and Shadowbringers. And it's been continuously building on itself over the last 10 years. And the story's finally coming to a conclusion with the release of Endwalker today. So yeah, I'm very excited to see the culmination of the story that has been built up over these last years and into this final expansion, and see what kind of groundwork is being laid for the future of the game. So as I mentioned, it's very, very much a single player game as far as story goes. You're going through all the story quests. They're all clearly marked from the side stories, so you can follow your main story. If you just wanted to do that, that would take you all the way through all the main story and take you up to max level. But the side quests will give you bonus XP and gil, which is the currency in the game, and occasionally gives you cool cosmetic items like fancy gear or costumes, minions, or special character emotes. So yeah, once you complete the story, then you unlock more of the multiplayer content like the raids and that sort of thing. So the story is mainly told through the quests. And yeah, the majority of the main story quests are all voice acted, which is nice. At least the newer ones are, I'm pretty sure. It's been there the whole time. That could be wrong. It's been a while now since I played the older ones. But the voice acting is always very good. I generally play them Japanese, but I've heard the English voice acting is good as well. And some of you might even recognize Sam Riegel in A Realm Reborn before he gets replaced by somebody else in Heavensward. So that's fun. So yeah, there's lots of cutscenes in the game, so be prepared for that. The game will even warn you when you're about to go into a series of cutscenes. It'll just be like, okay, make sure you set aside a good chunk of time because you're going to be sitting here for a while. So those are always appreciated, but that's always when they have the big big story reveals and stuff too. So it's always worth sitting through those. And yeah, they also do a really neat thing with single player like instances or scenarios. So you go through kind of a scripted battle as your character, and then a lot of the NPCs from the story are kind of fighting with you. Yeah, and there's lots of dialogue throughout the combat and just as you're going through the scenario between the NPCs and the enemies you're fighting, and that builds the story as well. Let's go into the gameplay a little bit. So Final Fantasy XIV is an MMORPG, as I mentioned, so massive multiplayer online role-playing game, meaning there are lots of other people sharing the world with you, and you start off the game hitting bugs with a small stick until you're able to slay dragons with a very large sword. So the game is a tab-targeting action bar type game, and you press a button on your keyboard or controller, and the skill you assign to that button will activate, and you can combo your skills together to do more powerful effects and that sort of thing. And the game kind of uses a 2.5 second global cooldown, meaning you have to wait kind of 2.5 seconds between skills generally, and that does make the game feel a little bit slow in the early game. But as your character grows, you're definitely gonna have buttons to press at all times, so the combat gets really, really good, especially later on. Once you get to about level 50, your basic rotation's kind of all there, and then it just kind of builds on that throughout the expansions. 50 was the cap for A Realm Reborn, and then every expansion after that, it's been an additional 10 levels. So Final Fantasy XIV has a really neat system called the Armory system, which means you play one character, but your one character can be every single job in the game. So there are 20 different combat jobs between your tanks, your healers, your ranged DPS, and your melee DPS. And then there's 8 crafting jobs and 3 gathering jobs, and you can do them all on one character, which is super, super sweet, because you don't have to feel like have to play an alternate character. And the combat jobs are largely based off of jobs from previous Final Fantasy games, but there are a few new ones that are exclusive to Final Fantasy 14. My favorite is a black mage. I originally started as an arcanist / summoner in A Realm Reborn, but preferred the black mage playstyle, and I've made black mage ever since about halfway through A Realm Reborn. But I play Dark Knight as my tank and white mage as my healer as well. Although Summoner is getting a rework in Endwalker, which I'm super excited about, and they are leaning more and more to kind of like a traditional Final Fantasy Summoner where you're more focused on summoning the big monsters to fight for you, and it looks super cool, and I'm super excited for that. So crafting is also really fun to do. You have your 8 different crafting jobs, but you kind of have to level them all since they kind of work together. Sometimes you'll need some cloth made by your weaver or some rubber made by your alchemist, and you kind of put them all together for into a pair of boots made by a leather worker. So you can buy your materials and stuff from the market board, but it gets a bit more expensive that way. So crafting is important to level if you want to build items for your apartment or your house, or if you want to craft cool cosmetic gear, or even combat gear as well, and pets and cool things like that. So a big part of the game is is player and guild housing. This is one of the coolest parts of the game and also one of the frustrating parts of the game. The problem is everyone can't have a house. There's not enough houses for every single player that plays the game. So which is a real bummer. But their kind of reasoning for it is they kind of want a community feel in the housing area. So you go into one of the instance housing areas and there's about, I don't remember the number, but it's about 20 or so homes within an area. So you can see your neighbors walking around and you can see their houses and what they look like and how they're decorating them and stuff. And you can visit your neighbors' houses and that sort of thing, which is pretty cool. But I think I would have preferred to see individual housing instances so that everybody could have one. And then you could just invite your friends over if they wanted to check out your house. But so there are apartments available to everyone, but they're significantly smaller than a house. And the biggest problem I have with them is you can't use the outdoor furnishings. So they have a bunch of special items and stuff that can only go on the outside of your house, like gardens and like a stable for your chocobo and that sort of thing. So that's kind of a bummer that not everyone has access to that. And the other downside is to try to keep people cycling through these houses. Once you have your house, you need to log in every 45 days and enter your house. Otherwise, your house gets automatically demolished and then somebody else has an opportunity to purchase your land from you. Not from you, but from the game. So that's how they kind of keep you subscribed to the game, which is a dirty little trick. But it works great because now I'm never going to unsubscribe for more than 45 days because I never want to go through trying to get a house. So basically because there's not enough houses for everyone, it's just incredibly competitive to try to get one, and it takes many hours of sitting by and just hitting enter trying to hope you're the lucky one that can purchase a property when it becomes available. So in addition to the combat and the crafting, the housing, there's also a ton of other side content. The Gold Saucer is one of my favorites, which is basically a giant casino. It's very much inspired by the Gold Saucer in Final Fantasy VII. And you get to play all sorts of mini games, like there's a roller coaster you can ride on, or you can race some chocobos or do jumping puzzles. It's just a fun place to hang out, and especially when you're waiting for queues to pop, that sort of thing. And there's a version of Triple Triad, which came from Final Fantasy VIII, but it's been widely expanded, so you can travel the world and play this card game against the different NPCs in the game and collect cards. And or you can help out the world's greatest detective on a series of absolutely hilarious quests. The game's just so fun, and it really celebrates the Final Fantasy series, which I really appreciate. I've been a big fan of Final Fantasy most of my life, and this game really celebrates it, and I very much enjoy it for that. Although if you are not a Final Fantasy fan or have never played a Final Fantasy fan, this is still a great game to jump into because I think there's all sorts of different types of content for all sorts of people. Yeah, it's super great. So don't let that scare you off if you haven't played Final Fantasy. Yeah, you just kind of get that extra little nod if you you recognize a character or a monster from other games. So we should spend a little bit more time talking about the different types of group content, since it is an MMO and people like to play MMOs to play with other people. There are several different kinds of content in the game for groups to do. Each expansion has a bunch of dungeons that come along with it, and there's usually one every 2 to 3 levels or so, and then a couple more at max level and one kind of added every patch. So dungeons are the more casual group content, I'd say. They take about half an hour to complete. They're usually not too difficult. You complete them with three other players, a tank, a healer, and two damage dealers. And dungeons are definitely the more casual content in the game, but they give you some pretty good rewards for gearing up your characters and making your characters stronger. And they always do a really good job of building a really cool atmosphere in the dungeons, and the bosses and stuff have cool mechanics that kind of tie into the more difficult raid encounters, but usually they're just toned down, so it's easier to go in with a group of strangers and complete the content. So after dungeons they have trials, and trials are one of my favorite types of content. It's just like a one-shot boss fight, but you go in with a raid party, so you go in with seven other players and you do a big battle with a big baddie. So there's generally two different difficulties for this fight. There's like a story difficulty, so you'll generally come across these trials as you're going through the story. You'll have to play through it on story mode, and then there's always an extreme version afterwards, which is the harder version, and you need more team coordination, but that gives you more rewards like weapons or mounts and that sort of thing. And yeah, I always enjoy these fights. They're challenging, but they don't take a lot of commitment to get through them. Usually once you learn the mechanics and stuff, it's usually not too difficult to do with a party of people. But yeah, they're always very cinematic and cool. And but yeah, they use a lot of the cool big classic Final Fantasy monsters here, like in A Realm Reborn there's fights with like Leviathan and Titan and Ifrit and Garuda and that sort of thing. So yeah, after, and then finally there are the raids, which are generally tackled by a group of a static group of players. So you go in with the same team every week, because this is the more difficult, more challenging content, and you really want to work with the same group of people, learn how they play the game, and learn how to work together as a team to conquer the more challenging bosses in the game. But they've also been adding a story mode version of these raids as well, which are very similar to the difficulty of some of the trials. So you can go in kind of with a pickup group, which is appreciated by me. That way I can still see the story of the raids, because they usually have a cool story tied into them as well. But yeah, other than that, there's a few other types of group content, like PvP. I don't really PvP very often, so I can't talk about it too much. Hunts, which are pretty cool. You get to track down rare spawns throughout the world, and you kind of tackle those with a party of people. And then there's the brutally challenging ultimate raid, which I will never see, because it takes hours of commitment and time investment. And I won't get around to doing that. Okay, so we've talked about story. We've talked about the gameplay. Let's talk about music. I love Final Fantasy music. It has always been my favorite. Nobuo Uematsu, he's a genius, and he creates such beautiful pieces of art. And and I never thought anyone would be able to surpass his musical greatness in my ears and in my heart. But then came his young apprentice, Mr. Masayoshi Soken. This man is incredibly gifted, and the music in Final Fantasy 14 is just absolutely awesome. Uematsu did a lot of the old stuff, and Soken kind of was working with him, and ever since kind of, well, Heaven's Word and going forward, it's been mostly Soken. Uematsu was kind of involved with some of Heaven's Word yet, but Soken's really taken over since then. And yeah, he uses like a wide range of musical genres throughout the game and expresses all the feels with his music. I mean, I'm no musician, so I can't really speak to the technical side of it. And all I can say is that the music makes me feel very happy, and I am always playing it on my Spotify account. So yeah, I recommend you give it a listen to as well. Look it up on Spotify. You can search for the Shadowbringer soundtrack and give that a go, because it's great. Soken is so dedicated to his work. I'm glad he really is getting the recognition he deserves for it. So earlier this year at the Final Fantasy Fan Festival, he actually announced that he was diagnosed with cancer in March of 2020. So throughout the pandemic, he was in the hospital receiving cancer treatments where no one could visit him, and he was just working remotely from his hospital bed. So just making sure that all the music for the patches and stuff was completed. And the only person who knew he had cancer and was in the hospital was the main director, Yoshida. And no one else on his team knew about it. His project manager found out about it like on stage when he was announcing this at Fan Festival. And she's like apologizing for him for pushing him so hard to get his work done. And that was a very tear-jerking situation. If you want to cry, you can look up that video on YouTube where he kind of lets everyone know about his situation and that he was diagnosed with cancer. But fortunately, as far as I know, he is recovering well and he's doing well. And I'm very excited to hear the Endwalker soundtrack, and looking forward to what he brings to us, because I very much appreciate his musical talents. And while I'm speaking about the guys that are behind this game, it's really important to me, and I to see the passion these guys have for the game, and I think it really comes out in the quality of the content. The producer and director, Naoki Yoshida, he took over the game shortly after the release of the 1.0 version of Final Fantasy XIV. So he's kind of personally responsible for the reconstruction of the game, and he continues to ensure its greatness to today. And he puts everything he possibly can into this game, just making sure it's the best possible game he can make it. And I love hearing him speak about the game. He's still so passionate about it even 10 years later. And yeah, he considers Final Fantasy XIV his life work. So he promises he's not going anywhere, which makes me super happy. Even though he is getting more projects and stuff, like he's producing the upcoming Final Fantasy XVI, which I'm super excited about. And but yeah, the poor guy was in tears a couple weeks back when they had to delay Endwalker for a couple weeks. So it yeah, just feels good backing a project that is worked on by such passionate people, and I appreciate their work. All right, so that's going to have to be enough for today, but yeah, I mean, I have barely scratched the surface of this game. I didn't even talk about glamour, and that's the true end game. Glamour is more or less changing your gear to make it look like other gear, but you make your character look really awesome or beautiful or fancy schmancy. But anyways, if I have given you any sort of inkling or desire to want to try this game, I have some good news for you. It's free! Well, at least sort of free. With the extended free trial, new players can journey through the entirety of A Realm Reborn, the award-winning Heavensward expansion, up to level 60 for free, with no restriction on playtime. So, if you have any desire to check this game out, go start up an account and send me a message so I can tell you which server to go on. Servers are kind of a pain, but we'll talk about that. Anyway, that is going to be all for this week's episode of Eldorn's Nerdy Travels. If you have any questions about Final Fantasy XIV or anything else, send me an email at eldorn14@gmail.com and I'd love to hear from you. Oh, Becca and Mark also messaged me to remind me that the game we couldn't remember last week was Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. So thanks for that, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. I'm going to jump back into Eorzea now. Goodbye!